Billy Lee Raleigh, rockabilly pioneer, has left the building.
Well, the news of the song has been a crying and rattling. I threw the water, seen it on the ground. First thing I seen when I saw it land, cats jumped out in the front of the band. I saw the rock and roll. I saw the rock and roll. I couldn't understand the thing they said about that crazy beauty just to stop me dead.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the special and not so special beer show.
We've got exactly that. Special beers. Rick's got the special beer. We've got the not so special beers. And it's just a hodgepodge of stuff. And so, Rick, you got the good beer. So, why don't you tell us so we can be envious? And let's just go right to the envious part.
Okay, I was a little surprised that Mike couldn't get this. It's the Stone 13th Anniversary Ale. Hit the store shelves June 29th, 2009. So y'all probably will get it around, what do you think, August?
August of 2025.
Yeah. there are a few fun facts about the Stone 13th Anniversary Ale. It's a big red and a hop monster. It's the first time they've released an Imperial Double Red style. They used more than a pound of hops per barrel. No, they used more pounds of hops per barrel than any beer they've ever made. They used Chinook hops in the brew house for bittering and flavor, then dry hop the beer with a 50-50 blend of Simcoe and Centennial. Yum. Then as an added bonus, they dry hopped it again just prior to filtering and packaging. So
wow.
That sounds great. Love Simcoe.
It's extremely hoppy. It's kind of a dark ruby brown color. It's got a nice off-white tan head and very aromatic as far as the hops. They come right in your face. And then basically, if you've had a Pliny the Elder, this is very similar along those lines.
Very good.
But it's got a nice balance, and it's got some malty character to it, too, also.
Now, I can't remember if it was last year's anniversary or the one before, but it was kind of weak. It was kind of because we panned it, and we had it, and it was going like, oh, okay. I mean, it was fine. It was a fine beer, but it was not their epic.
Yeah.
Not at all. And so I'm glad to hear that they've gotten back on the right side of the tracks. And I'm sure it compares favorably to my Busch non-alcoholic beer that I'm enjoying. That was in quotes, enjoying. I saw this, and it was like, you know how when you're driving by a really horrible car wreck, and you know it's in just horrible bad taste, and you should not look at it, but you do?
You got to look at it.
Yeah. That I saw this, it's like, I got to do it. It's that bad. It's an abomination. It offends you on multiple planes. So I had to do it. And I got to tell you, this is my third one. Because it's like drinking water.
You got a buzz yet?
No. It's impossible. I think you have to drink about 50 or 60 of them. But it's like I had to do it. I saw it. And here, you want to know the sad part? There was only one six-pack left.
That's funny.
No. What's the born-on date?
Yeah, no, I don't know. These mountains don't turn blue. I don't know if it's cold enough. Because I'm too stupid to know without a color-coded mountain. So, Mike, then, we got into the refrigerator because Rick has all the good beer. And I got these beers that our friend Steve Barziza from Southwestern Distributing, more about him in a minute, gave me. He said, here, try this. Now, I don't think this is something he's carrying. I think it's something somebody gave him to try, and he passed it on to me. We had a few shows back the Turning Japanese beer, and it didn't go over so well.
Mm-hmm. No, that did not see the light of day.
No. Oh, that's right. It was that bad. We didn't even want to put the show out. Thank you. So, we gave the Japanese another shot. And Mike, where is this from? What are you drinking?
It says it's Hitachino.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's riveting. Exactly right pronunciation.
Hitachino Nest Red Rice Ale, product of Japan.
Okay.
Okay.
Red Rice Ale.
Red Rice Ale. Okay. Red Rice. Red Rice.
Red Rice.
This Red Rice Ale was brewed with special red rice, which had been cultured in ancient times in Japan. Please enjoy the complex taste and beautiful natural color.
It is a pretty color.
Yeah, it's got a little red
hue to
it.
Reddish orange. And so they used red rice.
Uh-huh.
So unlike Budweiser and the other rat piss beers where they don't tell you they use rice, these guys are proud of it.
They're proud of it, yeah.
Putting it on the label. It's a red rice ale, Hitachino or whomever, breweries from Japan. So what is your honest opinion?
Well, when I took my first sip, I said, man, what did I get myself into? It took a few sips to get numb my taste buds, I guess. And it's coming around, but it's just got some off-the-wall flavor in there that I do not like.
Do you think it's the rice?
I think
it's twang. Is it a twang? Because you also said something about a smoke?
It's kind of, yeah, it's almost got like a little hint of a smoke. Maybe that's that red rice. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's got a little skunky aroma to it.
Okay. So it's not one of your favorites.
No.
Even though it's got an owl on the label.
Yeah, it's got a pretty little red owl on the
got a label?
The
yeah. Yeah. So, you know. So it gets bonus points for the label, but the beer itself, not so great, huh?
No, it's 7% alcohol.
That's good.
Which is good, yeah.
Okay, 2 points then. The fly likes it.
Yeah, the fly's landing on it. He likes it.
He's digging on that owl beer.
So, are we going to have another fly session?
I don't know, man. You could hear that thing last show.
Yeah, it was buzzing all over the place, man.
There wasn't a fly in here until we started.
I know. We opened a beer and they all come.
He's got tiny little headphones.
Yeah. And a microphone.
He came prepared. Maybe we can get a few words from the fly later. So, Mike brought the new issue of Beer Magazine, Rick.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's got Chickie with cleavage on the front, and she's all throughout the magazine. And you remember we were at Great American Beer Festival, and we saw this. It's like, wow, perfect name, beer magazine. But they were kind of like a lot of cliches. They had Budweiser in it. They had Miller. They had like it is very pictorial style. Well, they're still around. And so evidently they found a market and they're pushing it. And there's some articles in there. It's very colorful and elaborate, but and a lot of big-breasted women throughout. But Mike picked this up, or your wife bought it, right? Somebody bought
That's correct. My wife bought it for me.
Because right there smack on the cover is Cooking with Beer, 21 Amazing Recipes. That's their lead. Mm-hmm. And it's some good recipes, some really good beer recipes in there.
That's the one I was looking at, the grilled shrimp and watermelon.
What's the beer used for grilled shrimp and watermelon?
Orange wheat beer.
Orange wheat, okay.
So Hangar 24, orange wheat.
Okay.
Never heard of them, but I imagine it's pretty good.
And it just occurred to me, I was saying the wrong thing. We were talking about the Stone anniversaries, and I was saying I wasn't that wild about the Stone Vertical Epic. That's what the one, the Vertical Epic, the 08, it wasn't the best for me. But that was me. But I'm sure you could probably cook something with it using one of these recipes in Beer Magazine. And so we didn't cook anything. Well, actually, I've been cooking my ass off lately. And I'm going to tell a horror story in the next segment about it's a cooking horror story.
Do we get music to go with it?
Yeah. It's got
you know, the creepy violin guy or whatever.
Yeah. This is really, really bad. I mean, it's bad. So there's that to look forward to. And more Japanese beer.
Colorado blues updates to come also.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Lots of blues updates. And even more. So here's a blues guy. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you haven't. But I'm pretty sure you haven't heard this song. This is a little Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, now tell me, what in the world can be wrong? I said, tell me, what in the world can be wrong? Woke up this morning, trouble knocking at my door. I
no more.
So that, like I said, was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and that's off of one of his more widely known albums, Texas Flood. Mm-hmm. But it's, for whatever reason, one of the songs that you never, ever, ever hear, mm-hmm. because it's just like kind of a straight-up blues number, real nice, and it was something that I heard. It's like, why aren't I hearing this? Well,
it's always Texas Flood or...
Yeah, the ones that kind of like a little
Voodoo
hook.
Child.
Or, yeah, things yeah. like that, exactly. So... So yeah. I thought, okay, well, I'll play something. This is, there you go, some mm-hmm. Stevie Ray you probably never heard or sure. have heard very little.
And you heard it right here on?
Big Foamy Head, home of beer, blues, and barbecue. Okay, so you ready for the horror story, Rick?
I am.
Okay. I'm at Home Depot. And as Ooh, most
I love that place.
Full-grown male childs do, we look at things as we're entering, and depending on the entrance you come in, I don't know what entrance you use, but I go through the garden center. Walk through that, look at odds and ends, not that I'm into gardening, but when I come through there, then the next thing I see are all of the lawnmowers and the big riding lawnmowers, and I admire them a little bit. And then right next to them are the grills, right? The grills. And it doesn't matter if you don't like gardening or yard mowing, everybody's got to look at the grills. Well, they got this grill on there. Rick, you may have seen this. It's the Charm Glow Luxury Gourmet Island Big Son of a Bitch. It's enormous. It's an outdoor kitchen. Okay, well, I planned on having an outdoor kitchen for years, and I've got my little, in my pool area, I've got outlets. I've got it all set up where I'm one day going to do my outdoor kitchen. Well, they marked the thing way, way down. And for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe my wife been drinking or something. I wasn't aware of. She says, you ought to buy that. Well, I took her up on it. So we go through all these gyrations. I got to call people. You got to get, so I got to have somebody come over. I got to borrow a truck, this, that, and the other. And they got to get the forklift to get the thing down. And so they got the thing down, and I'm going to get the truck. And I'm looking at the side of the case. It says 560 pounds. And it's like, how in the hell am I going to get this out of this truck? Because they're using a forklift. I said, well, can you bring the forklift? No, you have to get like five or six people. So, okay, get it loaded into the back of the truck. Driving off, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to cook this first. I'm going to do this. And it's like this giant thing. And they said, oh, it's only a couple of pieces you bolt together. So I'm driving cautiously, go down the road, look back there, that thing ain't moving at all. Well, this is a little Ford Ranger I borrowed, and it had one of these plastic bed liners. So that thing was just like rooted in stone. Apparently, until I turned a corner, and it broke loose, and it was like it was on grease. It about tumped the truck over, and it jumped out of the back of the truck, landed in the road, and flipped over and over and basically exploded. Shit went everywhere. I mentioned this was on sale, right? It wasn't. Yeah. It was extremely costly nonetheless. And I'm looking at it just as going, oh, my God, I'm out an ass load of money.
Couldn't take it back at that point.
No, it was all over the road. The pallet broke.
No, that's not a scratch and dent.
No, it was an explosion. So I parked, and people are like, you know, of course, the men who are sitting there, of course, horrified. Oh, my God.
What did you do, son? What did you do?
So people are pulling over, and I'm going, oh, shit. How am I? Can't even move it, right? The thing had bounced out of the truck, out of the road and into somebody's yard. There was shit all in the road. So I started picking up piece after piece after piece. Then, oh, my God. And I'm like almost in shock. So these people helped me load what was loose. And then I went back and got some help and came back. And we go and pick up, start to pick up the main unit that's got all the burners and everything.
Unit.
I did say unit. And this guy who showed up, one of the many people who stopped to help, because here in Collier, Vegas, that's how we roll.
Good Samaritans.
Very, all of them. Every
good
one
grill
of them.
Samaritans.
Very good grill Samaritans. Yeah. And he wasn't going to lift nothing. He said, I got a bad back, but I'll watch it for you. So he said, I've been looking at this, and you got busted wells here.
Uh-huh.
Shit. So four of us load the grill back into the truck, what was left of the grill, and I take it back home. So from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 11 at night, we were doing grill body work, re-straightening out doors that were previously bent, got my hammer, my wood blocks, I'm doing my body work, and I'm fixing every damn bent piece, rigging up stuff here and there, putting it together. And so Mike came over and he saw it today. And you heard about this. Mm-hmm. It was all over the neighborhood.
It was in a lot better shape than I thought it was.
Yeah. I got it put back together. And mm-hmm. it worked, and I've been cooking on it ever since, every night. So it was, the horror story had a happy ending. But it's like, when I saw the thing laying there, it's like, oh, I'm screwed. I was so pissed.
Take it straight to the dump.
Well, there's got to be something not right about it. I mean, did you get it back perfectly, or is it okay?
No, it's got dents all over it. But I hammered them out. It's fully functional, you know. And
it works.
It works. And we were looking like the – and it's got like a little refrigerator built in it. It's got a searing rack. It's got – it's a pimp daddy grill.
It's got a nice cover with it.
Yeah. Got multiple chopping blocks.
It's got lights up top, electric lights.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what, that's very zen-like, because everything should have a flaw in it.
It does.
Japanese rock gardens, they always put an intentional flaw in there, because nothing is perfect. So,
speaking of,
is your zen grill.
And speaking of Japanese beer...
And nothing perfect?
There's nothing perfect about this one, I'm telling you.
Oh, no. Strike two. What are you drinking there, Mike?
I'm drinking the... Hitachino Nest White Ale.
Okay, so this is the Japanese take on a Belgian wit, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say it's a mediocre effort at a Belgian wit. A scale of 1 to 10, it's probably about a 5, maybe.
Okay,
you know, it's drinkable.
It's no Blue Moon.
I think it's no. I mean, I wouldn't even give it a Blue Moon rating. No.
Really? Okay.
No. It is better than the previous red ale.
You getting any spice notes?
A lot.
Okay.
Getting a bunch.
So they did get spice.
Yeah. It's got spice, but other than that, that's about it.
Really?
It's real weak.
So it's kind of a tepid beer that somebody dumped spices into. Well, I hate hearing that. I don't know what it is. I mean, the Japanese do so many things well, but I've yet to have... I mean... I like when I go to get sushi or something. I have a Sapporo or what, an Ichiban or whatever.
Yeah, the Ichibans are pretty good. They're decent,
but they're like Japanese Buds and Millers and stuff. So I've yet to have like a Japanese beer knock me on my ass. I say, wow,
it's made with the rice.
There's more rice in that one too.
Yeah,
they need to learn that's not a good thing.
You need barley. Right.
Put your rice in a bowl.
You think there's
belongs.
Any barley in this?
Oh yeah. If it was all rice, it'd be sake.
Well, true. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, it was good when it was fresh, but it was a slow boat from China to get over here. So
you could be right.
Slow boat from Japan, maybe.
Yeah. By way of China.
Yeah.
I wonder if that does have something to do with it. There's no way of telling, but. Anyway, we gave it a shot, and so this is our second attempt at Japanese beer, and I don't know. So if anybody out there knows about a good Japanese beer other than sushi bar beer, let us know.
I think we're going to do a sake show next time.
A sake show could get real interesting. Well, so I told you about my Scary Grill story, which by the way, now, this is the thing. Mike has mentioned this before. His wife deals in folk art, and Mike just brought me my latest piece of folk art from one of the fellows she came across, and we're looking at it right now. But I'm going to do this sign kind of in the folk art vein to go across the top of the grill. One, to hide some of the dents across the giant canopy that comes with it, and two, for the inside joke, because... I didn't do this, but my family christened this. They said, you need a sign on there that says, the Roadside Grill.
Oh, that's funny. That's a cute name.
Yeah. So we're making a sign that says the Roadside Grill. I'm going to have to take pictures of this thing where, like, from a distance, it looks good. Looks real good. It's real impressive.
It'd been good if you'd had some pictures of it on the roadside.
Oh, I couldn't do it. It was horrible. It was just like it looked like an explosion. It was terrible. All right, so Rick, what are you drinking now?
I am drinking the Sublimely Self-Righteous Ale from Stone Brewing, and this is a remake of the Stone 11th Anniversary, which was their Black IPA. I'm loving it. I mean, after the 13th Anniversary, which was a hot punch in the face, this is relatively smooth. It's almost like stout as far as the comparison goes. So.
Now, do
but
you
that's
think,
only after drinking the 13th.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think you were tainted a little bit by your hop bomb?
I was taken out and rode hard is actually what I was done.
Okay.
So this is smooth and mild compared to the 13th anniversary.
Okay. Well, yeah,
and
so
I remember this being a very hoppy beer. So
okay, so it is tempered a little bit by your hop bomb then. Okay.
Yeah, but this is a nice, easy drinker after that. So.
So Stone's doing it for you tonight, and Mike is...
struggling.
Taking two for the team
now
because this... and I've managed to finish. There's still a little bit of Bush non-alcoholic left in here.
But, this one has a lot of cinnamon. I'm getting cinnamon off this thing. Not a whole lot of coriander or anything, but it just seemed like a Christmas ale almost. Or
really?
Something. Yeah.
Not a white ale, though. Not what you were looking
Mm-mm.
for. Okay. Well, you know, maybe we need to spice things up around here with some class and culture. What do you think, Rick?
I think that's a great idea. Let's cue the music. We got the Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater's presentation of Beer Haiku, beerhaikudaily.com. And we got a special one for you today. Captain Hops wrote a Beer Haiku about us. And it says, Big Foamy Head, just some good old boys talking beer, blues, and barbecue and living the dream. Beer Haiku.
Very nice.
Class.
Here,
culture.
Here.
Very nice.
Here, 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 here. Encore,
all right.
Encore.
Very good.
So I left him a comment. It's like, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I need to go say something back to him as well. And you know, speaking of comments, our buddy Phil said, well, how are we going to leave comments now on BigFoamyHead.com? And the answer is, well, you can't because of the Russians, who we usually love, but they've been hacking me. But I don't know if I'm a target or what, so I had to turn off all the comments. But if you go there, you'll notice there's a link to our Facebook page. And if you're not a member of the Big Foamy Head Facebook group, you should be, especially today, because I just sent something out that we were oohing and aahing over. Members of the Big Foamy Head Facebook group received a message from me that was passed on to me from our distributor friend. I mentioned Steve Barziza and Gene Barziza. They are they're the distributors of all of the good craft beer there is to be had in Memphis. If you can't get it from them, you don't want it because it'll be rat piss. So they said, we've got some stuff that we're closing out, and they've got you can go to the dock and buy it. And these are some surreal deals. Everybody likes a Young's Chocolate Stout. Everybody does. I don't know anybody who doesn't.
Good beer.
It's a good, you know, drinker when you're of a mind to have a stout. Got that chocolate. You can throw ice cream.
Goes good on vanilla ice cream.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much would you pay for it? Well, it varies. So they've got it on clearance, and these are a weird sizes, a 14.9-ounce bottle, which is a little smaller than a pounder. And they're selling it for the low price of $24 and change a case. That's 24 bottles in a case. That's right at $1 a bottle. That's surreal.
What's the matter? Is it going out of date?
No, no. It's just they're liquidating some of the liquids there.
Liquidating liquids. I like
that. So if you were on the Big Foamy Head Facebook page, you got the email from me that I'm passing along from them. Yeah. And this is the kind of deal that on Facebook we're starting to turn you on to. We sent out some invites about the beer and cheese tasting that they had last night, which featured the beers from Unibrew and some really cool cheeses and sausages and stuff like that. So it was a good time was had by all.
We should have done that.
I know, but, you know, life got in the way. But there's more. There's more coming up. We've got 3 or 4 beer dinners. We've got all kinds of stuff. And if some of you guys who are out of town really want to partake of some of these things that we come across, drop us a line. We'll hook you up. If it's legal or else, we'll send you a case of wink, wink, nudge, nudge salad dressing. we're just doing the membership drives.
You know, with a buck a bottle, you could pay a little handling fee on that too, and you'd come out good.
Yeah, you could. It's good stuff. I'm thinking. Now there was only like 30 cases, so they're going to go quick.
Yeah.
So I think I want to get down there and get one because one of our recipes was I forgot what it was, but it was a chocolate cake. In the cooking with beer that you were pointing out, saying, look at that one right there. We could use that.
Sounded good.
And all kinds of good
stuff. I'm sure it does not call for a case of beer, though.
No, it doesn't. We'd have to find something to do with the other 23 beers. I'm sure we could find something to do with it. But, those chocolate stouts, man, you can cook all kinds of good stuff with it. So that's what's been going on around here. Rick, where was this blues fest you went to?
Well, that was on Old Pearl Street there in Denver. It's the first time I went there, and it's kind of got a Cooper Young feel to it. So it's, just maybe a 2 or 3 block area. And kind of Boulder Holmes and hip and happening people live there, So it was pretty interesting. It was Colorado Blue Society were the main sponsors for it. The music lineup that I saw, Eddie Turner Band and the Informants was the second band I saw. We didn't stay very late, but the Eddie Turner Band was really fantastic. They were jamming. Tons of breweries, the local things, Avery Brewery, Coors Del Norte, which is a new one. Deschutes, Flying Dog, Great Divide, Left Hand, New Belgium, Odell, Oscar Blues, and Wind Coop. So, there was plenty of beer to be had, but it was $5 a glass, so I went through some coinage there.
Whoa.
Now, this weekend they're having the Mile High Music Festival, and I'm looking forward to seeing Buddy Guy and Mike's favorite, Government Mule.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So.
That's great. And Government Mule, I think they're leaving there and coming straight to here because they're playing the 21st. Something at Mingle
and I'm
going to
be in town now.
You are. Yeah, because I saw that. I called Mike since I saw the poster. So very nice. Very nice. So a lot of music. And here locally, we've got I got a band, the Daddy Mac Blues Band, that we're going to be interviewing. Met with Valerie June from $5 Cover. We're going to be talking to her coming up. And I've got some odds and ends of bands. One of them. Barbara Blue, who is on the Blues Foundation, going to talk to her tomorrow night and see if we can't get her on the show as well. So let's take a break, and here's a couple of brothers. See if you can figure out who they are.
Say thanks to me like a cowgirl would. I do tricks for you like a cowboy should. You look romantic laying in the hay. I need you tonight in a new kind of way. When you look at me with those eyes, it makes me start to fantasize. I know you could, so I can do it to you, baby, like a Texan shoe. Oh. Riding the range, I think of you.
dig your chili, you know it's true. Oh, I make big money, put it in the bank. That longhorn cat has got a great big tank. Do it to me like I know you could, so I can do it to you, baby, like a Texan shoe. The kind of woman who's above the rest. Well, nothing for me but the best. You say you need a fella who really can do it to you good like a Texan man.
So maybe you noticed the backup singer in that song. It was good Texan. It was Jimmy Vaughn, backed up by his lesser-known brother, Stevie Ray.
Stevie who?
Yeah, he's the little brother.
Mm-hmm.
So which the guy, you know, to his death, he idolized his brother.
Yeah.
Jimmy. And Stevie Ray said, oh, he's the one with talent.
Well, Jimmy's good.
He is good.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's excellent. And so that was off of Vaughn Brothers. Family style. If you hadn't, I got into, you know, I like Stevie Wright, but he gets overdone. He gets overplayed on some stuff. And so I like finding some of the lesser known and more things because he was definitely a talent. But man, you can only hear some of these songs just so many times. And it's like, okay, love you. Gotta go.
Yeah.
You know. So speaking of things you love, there's nothing better than scantily dressed women on roller skates. Is there?
Yeah, I was going to mention during the last segment that there was a little bit of symmetry when I was at the Blues and Brews Festival. Obviously, you know, you got the International Blues Foundation and the Colorado Blues Society, which are Colorado Blues Society's sibling group of the Blues Foundation. So we're members of both, actually, T-shirt wearing members and card carrying in some cases. But the Roller Girls were here in Denver too, and they were pouring beers over at the New Belgian booth, and so I had to go back several times for some New Belgian 1554.
Good beer.
And how was your server pouring it?
Cute girls.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Yeah, they were scantily clad with the very tight shorts and the very firm buttocks.
Were they wearing their skates?
No, they were not.
Okay, hard to pour beer in skates, I guess.
That's true. Yeah, but you could get there quicker.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But
true.
I thought about you guys when I saw them.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you? Looking at scantily clad roller derby chicks. Mike immediately pops in.
Yeah, I was going to say Dick is just right there, you know.
Yeah. Got the visual. Well, one thing also, just taking a break from reality, we want to talk about Rick Like and his cause that he's really championing, the Pints for Prostates. And the beer magazine that we mentioned where the grilling 21 recipes and other things. They've got some scantily clad women in there too. There is a full page ad for Pints for Prostates. And if you haven't heard us mention it, we have mentioned Pints for Prostates before. We support it. We contributed. We challenged some of the others. And the facts on this are each year, more than 200,000 men in the U.S. find out they've got prostate cancer. Early detection is the way. And it, this ad is funny because it's printed upside down. And when you turn the thing upside down, it says, if you're smart enough to read this, you're smart enough to get tested. So basically, go get a prostate thing. And we were kicking that around. They don't jam the finger up your ass anymore unless you ask for it.
Like Rick.
Rick says he's only had it done 20 or so times.
It only cost him $10 a trip, $10 copay. He's got a great doctor.
Yeah. So let's recap the beers. And Rick, we had two for two. Rick had two good ones. Mike had two not so good ones.
Or
special and not so special. Yeah. So, Rick, how about your two that you had?
Okay. I started the evening with the Stone 13th Anniversary Ale, and that's an extremely hoppy red ale. I loved it. It was pretty intense. Actually, that's a bottle you want to share with friends because doing it by yourself, or that trying to get through a whole bottle by yourself is going to be a challenge. But I'll work on for the rest of the evening. And then I had the Sublimely Self-Righteous Ale. Just love the name because I'm pretty self-righteous. So that's the Stone 11th Anniversary, the Black IPA. And it's smooth and malty and hoppy and good. Highly recommend.
So no clear favorite on these two. They were both fantastic.
I think that the Sublimely Self-Righteous is actually a little bit easier to drink, okay. Like I said.
Okay, good.
The other one's a little bit of work.
All right. And Mike, you...
Speaking of work, these were both pretty hard to drink. The Red Rice Ale, or beer, I don't think it's an ale, is it?
It says ale.
Where does it say ale?
Doesn't it?
Oh, you know what it does? Red Rice Ale. Okay.
Yeah.
It coming in at 7% alcohol, and it is brewed with red rice, brewed in Japan, imported in Connecticut. It had a pretty color to it.
Yeah, very pretty.
A little red hue to it, real effervescent. And, you know, overall, probably around a 5 or a 6, maybe on a scale of 10.
But you had to get to that, though. The first couple,
first couple of sips was tough because it was almost like it had a smoky flavor to it, you know, like it was a smoked beer or something. It was really different. The white ale was much better. But there again, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just not what I'm used to and just kind of a chore to drink. But there again, I mean, it has all the characteristics of a Belgian wit. It's got the real foamy, tight, little bubbly, foamy
effervescent
head.
Yeah.
And it's got the spice in it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's got a lot of cinnamon to it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of different.
But again, you weren't bowled out.
Not impressed at all. Okay. No. Medium at best. Another 5 or maybe a 6. We'll go from there.
All right. So we're looking for the Japanese to step it up.
They need to step it up.
Okay.
You know, over there, how many good beers are there?
I don't know. But you know what? Maybe we should check out some of the other beer shows to see what they've found and where else. But beersafari.com, it's a jungle of beer out there. Mm-hmm. You can go and listen to exactly 1 billion podcasts. And they're all there. Yeah,
wow.
1 billion. We just reached the 1 billionth mark.
How many of them suck like us?
We're not going to go there. I said there's 1 billion. Some are special. Some are not so special. Go to beersafari.com, find out, sign up on the Facebook page, support Colorado Blues Foundation and the Memphis Blues Foundation. And
yeah, and I want to say thanks to Captain Hobbs for giving us a shout out. That was a pleasant little discovery.
Absolutely. That was really nice of him. It was just totally unexpected and great. And so visit beerhaikudaily.com and say hey.
And get your haiku on.
Get your haiku on. All right, I'm done. I'm ready to go find something better than a Bush non-alcoholic, which wasn't even in running today. If you want to read about that and more, go to beerporn.blogspot.com. Because this is going up there with a very, very short description. You'll have to go and look to see. So that's it. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
I give my woman half my money at the general store. I sit now by little groceries and don't spend no more. Then she paid $10 for a 10-cent hat and got some store-bought cat food for a mean eyed cat. When I give her $10 more for a one-way ticket, she was mad as she could be. Then I bet $10 more that if she ever left, she'd come a-crawling back to me. And I turned my head, there wasn't a cotton picking thing on her side of the bed. I found a little old note where her head belonged. It said, "Dear John, honey, baby, I'm long gone." When I heard a whistle blowing and the big wheels a turning, I was scared as I could be. I put on my overalls and I headed for town. I'm gonna bring her back with me. I asked a man down at the station if he had seen her there. I told him all about her pretty eyes and long blonde hair. He spit his tobacco, said, "I'll be dad blamed. I believe I did see her leaving on a eastbound train." I bought a round-trip ticket on a eastbound train. I was broke as I could be. But when I come back, I gotta buy another ticket. Gonna bring her back with me.